righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. Lord, we thank you for this place that you have provided, for the opportunity for us to come together in your name to praise and worship you. Lord, I pray that as boldly as we sang songs to honor you this morning, Lord, that we would shout praise for you to the world, that the world would know you, that the world would know the only impetus for good is you, the only source of love, true love, proven to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, is from you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to show your love to our shepherd, Pastor John, as he prepares to convey to us the message that you've placed on his heart this week. Lord, lift him up and protect him from all distraction, that his mind might focus, that his heart might be light, and that your message be professed through him with the love that can only be provided by you. I pray that the Spirit move within all of us today to keep us attentive while our brother feeds us with your word. And when he finishes, Lord, I pray that with loud shouts, we go from this place today with you in our hearts, in our minds, and on our lips. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you would be here with us today. We ask for your guidance, and we accept your love with an open heart. Lord, we ask that you bless this place, and we pray all of these things through your holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
In general, you should never say more than you mean. Okay. For instance, if you only like a girl, you shouldn't tell her that you love her. Okay. Because instead of wondering what you're doing Friday night, she's going to start wondering what you're doing forever. Okay. And she's right about that too, by the way. If you really can't stand squash, don't tell people you eat it all the time, because you're going to get a freezer full of the stuff every fall. I guarantee it. Okay. And I guess I'm talking to the men here. Men, if you're only interested in watching the football game today, don't say that you're happy to watch whatever. Okay. Because whatever might be football, but it might be figure skating. Okay. Or watching couples buy condos in Vail or something like that. Okay. So say what you mean. It's important to say what you mean and to say as much as you mean. Okay, it's very, very important. If you do that, if you make a practice in your life, if you make a practice in your worship, if you make a practice in your relationships with God and other people to only say what it is that you mean, you'll keep at bay all kinds of terrible bad feelings, such as frustration, resentment, anger, stress, and all manner of anxieties, okay? Now, I believe this is especially true in spiritual matters. I believe it's especially true in our relationship with the Lord, that when you begin to say things to the Lord that you do not mean, or that are beyond your scope of experience, or where you've arrived in your heart and in your mind and in your relationship with him, when you kind of skip chapters with God, it produces in your life a lot of frustration, okay? A lot of resentment, a lot of anger, a lot of stress, and a lot of anxiety. Now, we're all going to be tested on this Thursday, by the way. Okay, we're all going to be tested this Thursday. And I want to challenge you, okay, all of you, to not say more this Thursday than you mean. There's going to be pressure this Thursday because the mic's going to be on in your home. The pressure's going to be on around where you are, okay? To say a bunch of stuff that you really don't mean. You haven't quite gotten there yet. I'm going to encourage you this today. Part of the point of this message today is to try to use the exercise of Thursday and this exercise, this ritual holiday that we observe here in this country, to use this as an exercise to really assess in your heart and mind what it is you truly believe, what you truly are grateful for, and to determine in your heart and mind this Thursday to say no more than what you Absolutely me, okay? Because some of you, okay, if you're only thankful, let's say for instance, if you're only thankful for God's blessings in your life, let's suppose that you're very thankful for the good things that he brings into your life and the many blessings in your life, but if you're only thankful for the blessings, do not say to God on Thursday that you're happy about everything that he does, okay? Don't thank him for everything he's doing this Thursday if you don't believe that. And I imagine, I think I know, that a lot of you are not very excited about certain aspects of his will being performed in the world and in your life, okay? You're not pleased with it. So if you're only thankful for his blessings, say that, okay? I know, too, that some of you believe that you deserve some of the credit for the blessings in your life. I know some of you believe that. You may not say it quite like that, but you harbor a belief in your heart that some of the blessings that you enjoy, some of the good things that you have in your life, they're yours because you earned them, okay? You worked hard, and you got them by the sweat of your brow or by your discipline and so on and so forth. So what I encourage you to do, okay, is to not thank him this Thursday for entirely. Like, don't go in there and say, God, I recognize that everything in my life is from your hand. Don't say that if you don't believe that, okay? And the challenge I have, you have a few days here, okay, between now and Thursday, I want you to think about in your life what God and God alone can get credit for in your life, okay? The blessings that God and God alone can get credit for, and then just thank him for that. That's a good exercise. I'd like to see after that exercise what you think you still get credit for, but I'd be curious. Also, if God for you is just an impersonal force, and I know that's probably true for some of you in here, okay, that God for you is something you believe in generally, but it's impersonal, okay? He's not a friend of yours. He's not a person. He's not a father to you. He's a force out there. Don't pray on Thursday, okay? Because praying is a communication between two people, and you're a person, I think. Most of you are people, a lot of people here. If you don't see God that way, I don't see what you're praying about exactly, okay? You can just kind of put your thanksgiving out into the ether, okay? Just blast it out there for whoever's picking up that signal, okay? Now, I say this in all seriousness because I want you to understand to do anything less than that is to kind of engage in some kind of play acting, some fictional theater in your heart and in your mind. And it's very dangerous for you. I'm being very serious when I say that there's really no growth in your life without assessment. This is true in every aspect of your life, by the way. If you want to grow, you've got to be assessed. It's got to happen, okay? And if you want to grow and be strengthened, you've got to have the opportunity to be assessed. And what these holidays and opportunities like this, exercises, are designed to do is to assess your heart and mind. They're great opportunities to allow your head and your heart to be plumbed, okay? And I know that when Abraham Lincoln initiated the Thanksgiving holiday during the throes of the turmoil and chaos of the Civil War, he wanted to hearken the hearts and minds of Americans back to our founding, those first difficult winters up here in New England when half of the settlers died, and how they persevered and God blessed them through that following spring and summer and into the fall, and they had a harvest and away we went. And he wanted to hearken them back to the way they relied on God to get them through those first difficult years, that they might similarly rely on him now as our country was ripped apart by civil war. But I think he was also sending a canary down the coal mine for all of us, okay? He wanted the hearts of Americans back then in the 1860s to determine where it is that we get our sense of Thanksgiving. You know, what's bigger than these conflicts? What's bigger than these states and these rights and these bigger things? What about the Lord? And I think it was a wise and valuable thing to do, and I'm grateful for it, as Mike said. I think it's a wonderful thing to live in this country, to have this opportunity, but you've got to make the most of it. You need to grow, for sure. We all need to be more grateful. We need to have more Thanksgiving in our life, but you're not going to do that until you're honest first, okay? So if you hear anything else here today, Thursday, be honest, okay? Honesty is the beginning of growth. What is the baseline of your faith, your love, and your gratitude, okay? Now, I've taught a lot of courses here so far. Not a lot, a number of courses here since I've been your pastor. One course I'm never going to teach here is one on dating, okay, and courtship, because I wasn't very good at that. Okay, I was very, very bad at that. But tomorrow, by the way, is Lisa and my 7th wedding anniversary. So excited about that. It's not a miracle that we've been married for 7 years. It was a miracle we ever got married, okay? That's the big miracle. And I want you to know, I was reflecting back on that torturous period of time between when I really was attracted to her and before I could really pursue her. I won't get into it. I'd have to be on a couch with a psychologist and everything, but I really wrestled for a long time with whether or not I was gonna pursue her. Well, anyway, and I left her in terrible, I'm sorry, honey, you know, it's terrible. But I remember when I made the decision finally that I knew that I was attracted to her, and I think I probably in my heart loved her. I knew it was more than liking her, but I wasn't sure if I loved her. I wanted to write to her and tell her of my intentions, okay? I wanted her off the market, basically. She was in California, and I wanted to kind of plant that flag, okay? And I wrestled with what word to use, because I wanted to communicate to her that I was interested in her, you know? So I couldn't say like, and I wasn't going to say I like you, you know? I'm not in high school or whatever. And I didn't want to say, I couldn't say really, or I didn't think it was appropriate to say that I loved her. That wasn't right then. So you ready for it? Here's my word. Okay, you want to hear it? Lisa, I'm fond of you. Okay. All right, so anyway. All right, so hey, I'm sorry. That was... Now, don't laugh too much. It worked. Okay, it worked. So anyway, sorry, thank you. Thank you, Bob. So anyway, my point in this was that at that point in our relationship, I think the only thing I could honestly say to her, probably totally honestly, is that I was indeed fond of her. And you can look it up. It's a better word than you think, okay? I know it sounds kind of... I think she looked it up, too. She looked it up. So. But anyway, I said I was fond of her. Well, listen, when it comes to this Thanksgiving holiday, I don't know if I like God or you love him, or you're fond of him, or you adore him, or whatever. I want you to strive this Thursday, this holiday, to figure out what it is you can honestly say to him by way of gratitude, by way of love, by way of affection, by way of praise, okay? That's really what I want you to be thinking about. Now, David, who's the writer of this psalm that we're looking at, he was a man after God's own heart. And these psalms, really, for most of us, and especially for me, some of them are really inaccessible, okay? They're not what I could not really say these in good conscience. I don't know if I really have arrived there yet to sing all of these psalms. I like them all. And so I want you to understand some of these psalms, like this one, kind of stand as north stars for our wandering mariners out here. You know, they help us chart a course to where we want to go, but we're not entirely there yet, okay? And so when we look at this passage, what I want you to see in this passage is a challenge to all of us about how it is that we might make better use of this Thursday, these opportunities to give Thanksgiving, okay? So really quickly, one first thing I want you to see in here about this Thursday, your Thanksgiving holiday, make sure your praise is tailored to your heart. Make sure that your praise is tailored to your heart. Look at verse 1 with me again. Here David says, "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright." Now, a man can be fitted for a suit of clothes, you know, a dress suit, and can have it tailored perfectly to his measure and to his form, or if he doesn't want to do that, he can just buy one off the rack, right? A woman, similarly, she can get fitted for a dress, and they can tailor it perfectly to her measure and form, or she can just buy one off the rack. Your praise, okay, can be fitted perfectly to your heart and to your mind today, or you can just buy one off the rack. I'm encouraging you here today to not wear anything this Thursday that doesn't fit, okay? Don't buy your Thanksgiving off the rack, because it's not going to totally and altogether make sense or fit in your own heart or in the one who it's intended to hear it, which is God himself. It's not going to resonate with him or with you, okay? Don't get your Thanksgiving off the rack. Look with me down at verse 3, just the very beginning of verse 3. David says here, "Sing to him a new song." David loves this idea. This shows up 6 times in the Psalms where he says this very thing. He encourages the Israelites to dig deep and to not just sing the songs he's written and not to just fire away like that, but to sing a new song every once in a while, okay? one that's from your own personal experience. Isaiah picks this up. Later, when the Israelites are really sleepy and wayward and about to be conquered by a foreign enemy, he says to them, why don't you sing a new song? You know, these old songs that you've been singing forever. They're blunt, they're tired, they've got a dull edge on them. You need something new. You've got to have new experiences so you can sing a new song. And twice in John's Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, when he's looking at the end of the world, twice in the book of Revelation, new songs are sung right at the conclusion of the history of the world. Songs are born of personal experience, okay? And so these songs that we all sing, it's very easy to kind of inhabit them, okay? And oftentimes the songs that we sing, they make sense to us because we've been there. I mean, we've all been with Elvis in Heartbreak Hotel, right? So if you want to sing that song or hear that song, you can get there. And, you know, we've all heard that lonesome whistle while we're doing time with Johnny Cash in Folsom Prison. And we've all stood right next to Aretha and belted out, give me R-E-S-P-E-C-T, you know, sock it to me, because you've been disrespected. You know what that feels like, okay? And that's fine. A lot of the songs we sing, the songs we've sung here today, these were generated and produced by another person's personal experience, but yet they resonate with us, and praise the Lord, God gives those to us. That's what the whole book of Psalms is all about. But our personal experience, I'm talking about your personal experience walking with the Lord, pursuing him, these should be producing original works in your life, okay? You should be singing new songs to him. God created us above the parrots and the clapping seals, didn't he? Okay. And oftentimes, I think in church and in your own life and your personal devotions, you're just parroting what you've heard other people say or do. It's parroting other people's experiences, but not your own. This Thursday, Thanksgiving should be improvisational. Okay. Do you know what I mean by improvising? Or a night at the improv, okay? It's where you should have nothing prepared, but out of the overflow of your heart, you should be able to produce Thanksgiving. And it should be improv. It should not take learning a line or getting or downloading something into your head and heart that you can then iterate for somebody else. It should just flow out, okay? Now, for some of you, offering praise and Thanksgiving has always been a little bit awkward, okay? And I understand that. For some of you, praise and worship time is hard. You kind of feel like a little kid wearing your parents' clothes, like a little boy wearing his dad's big sport coat, or a little girl in her mom's high heels. You just feel awkward and clunky. It doesn't make sense. But really, that's because you're lacking in maturity. Okay, the main reason why that's so in your life is you've not really matured. What does he say here? That praise befits the upright. He said, the people who can shout for joy to the Lord are the righteous ones. You're not enjoying righteousness. It's the righteous who shout. Okay. And what I love about shouting, I don't shout a whole lot. I don't know, some of you might shout from time to time, maybe if you're at a sporting event or something, but every once in a while you have that. There's something happens that just causes you to shout, maybe scream even if you're afraid. But that passionate peace and love and ardor for the things of the Lord can create within somebody an irrepressible shout, you know, and you could say hallelujah. It happens, you know, and I think that that's what should be happening for the righteous. But who's able to do that spontaneously? Who's able to have that emanate out of their inner being? The righteous people, okay? And I'm not talking about the people who observe properly a code of conduct and who are determined and are classified by fellow Christians as being the righteous, holy ones. I'm talking about something that's personal between you and the Lord, that personal pursuit of purity in your life that produces those shouts of hallelujah. The upright sing praise, David's saying, and it looks good on them, basically. When he says praise befits the upright, what he's saying is when those people are praising God, it looks good. It looks right on them because they're standing upright. They're where they ought to be. And that's where I want to be myself. I want to read just this parable from Luke chapter 18, which I believe will be up there on the board for you. But Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, Jesus tells a story, a parable, about two people who were praying. It says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Gratitude is positional, don't you see? It's where you are. It's what's been affected in your being, your personal composition. It's inspired by the place that you are. You know, I don't know if you've ever been hiking. Some of you have been hiking. There's something very satisfying about getting up high enough where there's no obstruction to your view. You ever hiked up a high mountain, and you might come to a place where there's a nice vista, a nice panoramic view there, but your enthusiasm about the view is cut off a little bit because of tree lines and rock faces and hillsides, and there's something in us that says, I need to get a little higher. I want to get up higher where I can see everything, where I can turn 360 and have an unimpeded view of everything. That's really what gratitude should be like. You know, I think sometimes in our lives we get a glimpse of that kind of thanksgiving, that kind of gratitude. But the admonition of Scripture, and I think the admonition of David here, is to keep climbing, keep striving. So this Thursday, don't overdo it, okay, everybody? Don't overcommit. Don't oversay something that you're not there yet. Offer thanks from your present viewpoint, whatever that is, okay? Humble, honest praise always fits. Okay. Humble, honest praise always fits. Figure out what you can say honestly and say that. I love that. There's an old Robert Strauss line that I'm going to paraphrase here, and I'm going to say, worship is a little bit like fighting a gorilla. You don't quit when you're tired. You quit when the gorilla gets tired. Okay. And this project of becoming holy and righteous, this project of becoming more like the Lord, you know, it's like fighting a gorilla. You can't quit when you get tired. You're going to have to quit when it gets tired, okay? So we have to keep striving and going, but don't overstate where you are. The second thing I want you to see here is to make sure your praise is more than words, okay? Make sure your praise this Thursday is more than just a statement, a comment, some remarks. It's got to be more than words. Look at verse 2. David admonishes the Israelites, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, the guitar, basically. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Now, suppose a friend of yours is going through a rough patch in his marriage, okay? Let's say this friend of yours, things aren't going well at home. And he starts to talk and he says, you know, my spouse says to me that she doesn't feel loved anymore. And I don't get it, because I tell her I love her morning, noon, and night. I mean, when I get up in the morning, I tell her I love her. Every time I get off the phone with her throughout the day, I tell her I love her. And at night, I tell her I love her. But she doesn't feel loved. So you start to ask him a few questions, and you say, okay, I hear that. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you gave her a gift? And he says, well, she got a ring on our wedding day. I mean, I thought that was pretty good. She should be all set. Okay, let me ask you. Okay, I get that. Okay, let me ask you another question. When was the last time you turned the TV off and just talked? Well, you know, we lost power a few weeks ago, and I think we talked about the generator a little bit. I think I remember that. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you another question. When was the last time you served her in some way? When's the last time you went out of your way to serve her? Oh, I got that, he says. You know what? I always put my dishes in the sink. Always. I never leave those dishes, those dirty dishes, they're always in the sink for her. Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. Well, the one last question, you know, when was the last time you showed your wife any physical affection? You know, you ever, you know, hugging her and kissing her and stuff? Well, you know, when we drive places, she sits up front with me. It's good. Okay, so you have some tough things you need to say to your friend, okay? She doesn't feel loved because love is more than what you say, okay? A lot more than what you say. And even though you're being very faithful to say it morning, noon, and night, what you're doing is not saying it, right? Love is a lot more than saying so. And thanksgiving is a lot more than saying so. You know, for David here, his gift is musical composition. He loves to write music. And so he says, I'm going to give thanksgiving with the lyre and with the 10-stringed harp, okay? I'm going to give him a thanksgiving that's beyond words. And I want you to think, what gift can you give to the Lord? I mean, what can you do this Thursday to say thank you? What gift can you give to him? What is it that brings you joy in life? What's the thing you really, really enjoy doing? Can you do that for his glory? Can you do that very thing and have it be for his enjoyment, not just your own? What time can you give him this week? What can you give up in your life? What dear thing that you spend time on each week can you give up and abandon forever to devote that time to spending with him, to turn off the TV, so to speak, okay, and talk? Will you be willing to do that? What act of service can you perform? Why don't you show the Lord this week and for the balance of your life that you care about his kingdom, you know? God loves this kingdom of his, the church. He loves what he's doing in the world. It means very, very much to him. And it would mean an awful lot to him to see that you cared too, and that you would invest and pour into and give to that kingdom and to its work, okay? Also, what can you yield to the Spirit? You know, it's hard to be really physically affectionate with the Lord because of our separation due to our sin. But what you can do, okay, is get alone with the Lord and foster an intimate and abiding relationship with the Holy Spirit. There's more physicality in that than you might think, okay? A lot more. And it's possible for you to enjoy the type of relationship with the Holy Spirit that's such that you can feel closer to him, indeed, physically closer to him, by spending time in prayer, okay? Your thanksgiving, your praise has to be more than words. So let this Thursday not just be a thanksgiving, but a thanksdoing and a thanks being as well. Well, one final thing I want to charge you with here this week, this Sunday, is to make sure your praise this Thursday is improving, okay? Make sure your praise is improving. Look at me at verse 3. Here David says, "Sing to him a new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts," okay? I want to key in on this two-word phrase, play skillfully, okay? Nothing speaks more sincerely than the pursuit of excellence. I think you know that. If you want to know what somebody really cares about and is interested in, it's what they pursue all the time and what they want to be excellent at. I love the pursuit of excellence, especially in things of the Lord. And what David is saying is, in this big project of praising God, don't phone it in. Don't be casual. Don't get something off the rack. Be excellent. Play skillfully. What you love, you work to get better at. I love the old Tennessee Ernie Ford song, 16 Tons. You know, this old Kentucky coal miner is being called by St. Peter himself to come on to glory. But what does the old coal miner say? He says, "I can't go. I've sold my soul to the company store. Okay, I can't get there." And he says, and he kind of laments, and he says, "You dig 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt." Okay. Now, for some of you, that's the spiritual life. That's life in the church. It's a lot of treachery, a lot of drudgery. Okay. 16 tons. I'm digging all this coal week after week, and what do I get? I get another day older and more deeper in debt to what God wants me to do for him in my life. Do you feel like that old Kentucky coal miner here today? I'd say I really enjoyed our time of worship today. I felt the Lord's presence powerfully, okay? And I didn't feel like I was trudging and drudging today, okay? Doesn't mean I don't always. Sometimes I do. So the challenge here to me is that whatever your praise is like today, whatever it was like last week, whatever it's going to be next year, it's got to be improving. If it's not improving, it doesn't matter to you, okay? And it's as simple as that. You should be getting better at it the more you care. If that's your attitude, I know you're probably not doing it well, and you're probably getting worse and worse. Most people, and I think this is kind of sad to me, but it's been true a lot in my experience, a lot of people live their spiritual life backward. Most testimonies I hear from Christians go something like this. "When I just became a Christian was when I was closest to the Lord. And ever since I gave my life to the Lord, I have been drifting further and further apart from him. That makes no sense, okay? When you're born a baby, and you grow into maturity. But it seems like most Christians' experience I talk to, they were born in maturity, and they've just drifted away. That can't be so, okay? If it's important to you, if you love the Lord, you at your baptism, in your conversion, you were an infant, a baby, and everything, all the trials, the tribulations, the backsliding, the progressing, the pleas for forgiveness, the reception of forgiveness, the challenges accepted, the failures, the successes, all of that is building us together to grow us more close to the Lord, to benefit our praise, to get us upright and praising in sincerity. So this Thursday, mean what you say, do what you say, and say it all better and better. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, praise and thank you for this time and your word. We're thankful for David. We're thankful for this type of psalm and for the North Star that it is. We're out here in our boats, and not all of our courses have been charted by a psalm like this. Sometimes we're in other directions for different reasons. But Lord, I pray today that all of us would chart our course toward the ideal, toward the excellent, toward that which you are altogether worthy of and deserving of, which is our perfect praise. So thank you, Lord, again, for what you've accomplished in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you for the places you've brought us thus far. I pray, Lord, that we would in everything be humble and be honest with you, and that in that honesty, we would have put in stark relief those areas where we have yet to grow, and that you might, in our humility, award to us a time and a season of growth, of revival, of strengthening, of becoming more like you, of having your heart and your mind. And Lord, that's only going to happen for us as a people if we're honest today, and if we're honest this week, and if we're honest in every aspect of our lives. So I charge that for my own life, for our home, and I pray it for our church family as well. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us and for being with us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.